Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again this week with my co-host, the beloved Antoine Bergeron. Hey Antoine, how's it going?
Good, good, you?
Oh, it's going peachy. That is the sound of me trying to glue little itty-bitty tiny pieces of resin onto a model that came broken in the mail. How are you tonight, Antoine?
I'm doing great. It's a quiet evening here, with no family around. With spring break, they're off with my wife for a couple of days, so I worked late and came in just in time for the recording.
Well, that worked out well then. Mm-hmm. I was all set for the recording, and then I accidentally fell asleep while tucking in my daughter. So I came to the recording late myself. Man, this is not going to go well. Oh.
If it's fiddly assembling and stuff like that, just bring it to me Wednesday and I'll do that for you.
It's not assembly. It's literally... Okay, so...
I know the piece is broken, but...
Yeah.
You've seen the vite here. I'm sure I can do something.
I think I've got it finally glued in the right spot. It's because the glue wasn't hardening fast enough, and the piece was so, like, wobbly, because the contact point is so small.
Yeah.
Now that it's mostly dry, I can add glue to reinforce, and... I mean, it'll break off in, the first time I transport this model. It can join, Fathom's spear, because that's also going to break. This is not really what the show's about, but I'm super not happy with the Steamforge resin. It's not brittle. It's very kind of spongy, which is nice. Not spongy. Flexible is the word I'm looking for, I guess. But the pieces are so fine that the models just don't seem to last.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they weren't designed in consequence of the material being used. In a way, it makes me think a little bit of Arena Rex, with the super narrow spears and it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. They're so small that the material just doesn't work for a display mini, it wouldn't be so bad, but for a play mini.
Yeah, exactly. And the casts are pretty good. I would say the details of the model they're gorgeous. I'm working on Ukiah right now. I don't know if I mentioned that. Nope. The new captain for fishermen, and they, I think is the pronoun choice, are gorgeous. That's a nice little bubble there. Anyway. Nothing is perfect, I suppose. I'm going to stop working this in a second. We'll go back to some judgment models. Anyway, yeah, so what I'm working on tonight? Well, I've got Ukiah, obviously. Sorry. I've also got a bit of a cold. I've got some blacksmith models here that I have eyed cautiously and turned away from in disgust. And I've got some judgment figures I'm going to work on here. I think Cyan in particular. Try to get some more progress done on her.
By the way, I saw the model yesterday, and I like your color scheme. It's coming along well.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy for the invested amount of time. I haven't spent a lot of time on that one, unlike other models, because I wanted to get her tabletop ready. Hold on. So far so good. I'm pretty happy with the progress I've made so far. Let's see. Aside from that, anything else my painting bench I'm working on? In all this chaos, it's really hard to tell. but I think that's about it. What are you working on?
I'm working on some Guild Ball too. So I am slowly painting away at Veteran Gutter. She's been started...
months ago?
At least weeks. Months. I don't know how many months.
And I was going to say, I think you might be being a little generous there when you say weeks. I think it's longer. I think it's more like months.
Yeah, yeah. And I lost interest in painting her and came into the recording session and I don't have anything else ready to paint.
And so tag, she's it.
Yeah, she's it. I have terrain I could work on, but I already painted a bunch of terrain for Probe City in the past weeks. And it's enough for a smaller game right now. And the other new stuff that you brought yesterday, I would need to clean and prime, so that's not ready to work on. I could still do some sculpting. There's always sculpting to do. But I wanted a change of pace and clean up the desk, get rid of some work-in-progress stuff.
Let's say the shelf of shame stuff?
Yep.
And it's not really on a shelf, but...
Yeah, my work-in-progress staple of shame that I called him. All the projects I started but are left partway. I have shelf of shames like everybody, but I have also tons of partway projects. And yeah, those bug me more.
Yeah, I have a ton of those too, so I feel your pain. Most of those are my 40K models. The various armies over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. So working on her. And that's about it. I have other projects, but I know I won't get to them, so it's not worth mentioning them.
I was really, really hoping I'd get Yukai primed, and oh crap, did I just... sorry. I had hoped to get her primed and started tonight, but that's just not going to happen. Falling asleep kind of ruined that.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I just tried putting her together to like dry fit to see. Because her back cloak, hand, and staff that goes over her shoulders are all one piece. And when I put it together, it pushed on the pieces that were drying, the spearheads I was trying to glue back on. So, yeah. It's interesting they chose to cut the model up that way, though.
Anything else you've worked on during the week? Apart from what you're working on tonight?
Not really. It's been while I bang stuff in my miniature case. Not really. It's been a lot of judgment the last couple weeks, as I tried desperately to get stuff ready in time for Adepticon.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm gonna be on track, which is nice. I was really concerned that I wouldn't have stuff ready in time, but I think all is well on that front.
Yeah. You've made good progress.
Yeah, like we were talking about last night, it's 54 mil models are big, right? So
yeah,
they're time consuming, and it's even a quick paint job on one takes a long time. But it's been enjoyable. I mean, it's very different than what we normally work on as miniature hobbyists, at least in terms of game playing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it interesting, and then. Well, I guess I'll talk a bit about games, too, because I played a couple games, and we haven't gone over that yet. I should first... It's not technically miniature gaming, but I've started playing in an RPG, so I'm flexing those muscles again. It's been a long time since I worked them out. And I'd forgotten kind of what it was like to play in a... in a game like that. And aside from that, I gave our own B. Steve a little judgment demo last night. which was pretty cool. I don't know how he felt about it in the end. I think he thought maybe the game was interesting. I don't know if he'll ever want to play it again. But I think mechanic-wise, at least he thought it was intriguing. But, you know, like everyone, I think the cost... excuse me for all the rattling noise. The cost is kind of scary. You know, when you're first hit with that, you know, it's $70 a model or $65 a model. That's quite the sticker shock.
Especially as you don't need one.
Yeah, it's still, right? You know, the small format of the game, even if you're not doing a draft, I think it's still three models, right? So that's not chump change. Adds up quick. Second, I don't think I've had any other games since we last recorded. I mean, we did miss a week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that life stuff happened.
There was a lot of whip last week.
There was a lot of life last week, yeah.
Yeah. On both our sides.
Yeah, well, you trying to play Noah with the Great Flood.
Yeah.
Well, at least the damages were minimal. And yes. The miniatures are all safe, and that's really what's important.
Yeah. Let's say it like that.
Well, it's not a lie. The miniatures are all safe.
Yeah, most of everything is all safe. That's good. Yeah, we had a water leak, but it was cut fast, and we were able to... we were lucky. It was in an unfinished room, so damage is minimal.
Yeah, there's an old expression where they say sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, right?
So, yep.
You know, I like my color scheme for this model. I'm back working on cyan right now. But bright green can be a real pain to paint, I'd forgotten.
It's fun to paint, I find.
Yeah, but any bright color, right, can be challenging.
Well, it's not like something that you're used to paint.
Is that a shot at the fact that everything I paint is super muted and...
Not at all. Not at all.
You know, Antoine, I don't need to take that crap from you.
That's fine. Show done. See you next week.
No, that is true, though. I'm not very adventurous with my colors, and I tend to paint in earth tones a lot. Yeah.
I've been like that for years, and who am I to talk? My butchers are super muted, too, so.
Yeah, they look super good. I can't even claim that. I can't be like, yeah, well, my stuff is muted, but, you know, it looks really good. I could be, well, my stuff is muted, but it looks passable. It's not quite the same effect.
They're muted, but still contrasting. That's why.
In yours, yeah. Mine are muted and not contrasting.
Yeah, that's your main problem, usually.
I'm not big on contrast. I am a terrible, terrible competitive painter. Well, not that I am a competitive painter, but I would make a terrible competitive painter. Contrast, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
I have 37 shades of brown on this guy. Yeah. What do you mean I need more contrast? Yeah, I'm kind of terrible.
It's something you build.
I've been building this house for 15 or 20 years at this point, Antoine, and it doesn't seem to be getting any brighter.
I used to paint super muted and dark too, and up to not that far back. So,
but then you got better.
I just started looking at my miniatures from farther away, and that helped a lot. While painting, I often push my little the limit of my arm length, and look at them that way. So if I cannot see the contrast from that far, it's not sharp enough.
But see, my arms are a lot shorter, so
but
I can see the contrast easier. It's all good.
Sure.
All good.
Yeah.
So, did you talk about your games already and I missed it? Or?
No, I've not even talked about what I've been working on except the gutter. So, just to go quick, the rest of this week I've been... that Paul already hinted at it, but I did a lot of molding and casting. And finally, it's working on a regular, not schedule. But,
you're getting reliability?
Reliability. Cast? Like, most poor, I have over a 50% rate of success, so that's good. It's a lot better than what I had before. So,
like, most people may not think that's very good, but
compared to like 5%, that's a lot better.
That's like, just it, right? It's all about comparison.
Yeah, I pour between four and six piece each time, and right now I'm having four or five successful ones every time, every cast. So that's a lot better. My failure rate is really down. And the more problematic piece, the Hippo Ballerina, I think I was able to correct the mold and add the event to the right place. So next pour, I'll be able to confirm if it's really working. But the last one was good. So after I get two good casts out of it, I'll be happy and be able to produce more. And all that is getting ready to be shipped to Chicago for Adepticon. So I won't be selling there, but they will be on sale at a friend's booth, Mr. Jean-Virgile from M3 Studios. So they will be available there. I won't have a ton. I started to cast them late, and the success rate not being good didn't help. But there will be some of my piece there. Apart from that, I still did some sculpting. I almost done with my Crow Witch. The broom is done. I did a first partial bake, so I'll just have the face left to do and a tab for her to hold on. But almost finished. And the last thing I did hobby-wise, I cleaned and assembled Cruel for Judgment.
Woo!
Yeah. So I just have a bit of green stuff to do. There was a broken piece on his staff, and one of the joint point, there's kind of a spirit on the base, and it's two part, and I find the joint a bit rough, so I'll just green stuff it, because it's probably going to be some glow effects, and if it's not smooth, it's going to show, so... I'll have to do that this week before starting to paint. I don't think I'll finish it by Adepticon, but I'll at least have it base coated to be able to bring it in play.
That's pretty cool. I'm just looking at something now and wondering how the heck I'm going to fix it. On San, I can see a joint where her arm meets the body. And I hadn't seen that before.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I don't know that I can fix it. It's near her hairline, so I'm going to see if I can just paint the joint black and have it blend into the hair and not really show.
Sure.
Well, no, but there's... Okay. So, the thing is, it really stood out because I painted her hair black.
Mm-hmm.
But because there was this seam there, the seam was showing the neon green that I base coated her by airbrush with.
Mm-hmm.
So next to the black.
Yeah, it shows.
It really, really shows. Yeah, that's not going to work so well. I liked your, yeah, sure.
Well, I don't have the model enough in mind to be able to know. So it was not sarcastical.
Oh, yeah, well, so. It could have been because this looks terrible.
Okay. But if you can hide it with the air, might as well do it. So
yeah,
if you don't want to putty it or rework it while the paint is already started, you don't really have a choice anyway. So
yeah, I wouldn't even know how to putty this at this point. If I even had putty, which I don't. Her arm glued on at a weird angle. And I thought it was strange, but I followed the studio model. Cause it's not like these things have instructions, right? Models with instructions seemed like a weird, like, 40k only thing.
Yeah, but 40k models have, like, 85 bits, and they don't go all on the same model. They kind of don't have a choice now.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, some of these models could really use instructions. well, like even Brock, which is a dwarf aggressor, so like a dwarf DPS guy. He's
a simple model.
Yeah, and his arm also goes at a weird, like, crazy angle that you glued on, and it's not intuitive at all.
Okay.
So, like, it's a strange, strange drawing. So instructions would have been nice. And like I just said, he's a simple model, so if he can be problematic, then for sure this one is. So yeah, have you played any games the last week or so?
Yeah, I played a couple of games. First, I played a game of Guild Ball with Steve during our evening of games yesterday. So we were proxying the new captains for our respective teams. So Steve was playing Steeljaw for his hunters, the Trap Lady, and I was playing Veteran Boar.
And how did that go?
As my usual self, I used the killing team and won the game with 2 goals.
You managed to get 2 goals?
Yep.
I didn't. I got there late, like, so I didn't realize you'd scored goals.
Yeah, I scored twice. That's how I finished the game.
Oh, that's right. You scored with a.
I scored first with Shank. Did a couple takeouts and finished by scoring with the brisket.
Yeah. I was there for the brisket goal. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. So, on my first try of this most deadly captain, at least most deadly by himself captain, buried the whole game. I won by scoring 8 points with goals.
Yeah, he is truly a super solo.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, he is super strong and he brings his own buff. So apart from a super controlly team, I don't think you can really stop him. However, he doesn't bring much to his team except some influence efficiency.
Yeah, some influence. That's a pretty important thing.
Yeah, it's important, but that's everything he brings.
Yeah.
That's it. So, and it depends on positioning for the Berserk upgrade, which doesn't always fit. And the rest, he brings more influence than he uses. So that's the good part, the part that's always up. So it's strange playing a game where your captain is fully loaded and will do stuff and still provide influence for the team.
Yeah.
So that's his way of helping, really.
Yep. And it is quite cool.
Yeah. And it worked well. Super solos are not my style of play. So I'll still paint him. But if I want to play a super solo, I'll probably have to paint Fillet before painting Veteran Boar. Because I like scoring more than killing. So at least you can do both more than him. But I'll be painting him eventually anyway, and just because it's a cool model. And I love Boar.
I love the fluff.
I love the model. So it's a nice take on it. I just don't know if it's my style of play to play his captain variant. I might just stick with the regular Boar in my team.
I don't know what the fluff is for him.
Well, it's just a mindless killing machine. He's the guy that people are afraid of in a team of murderer.
Is he the one that chops off Corsair's leg in season 1?
No, that's Ox.
Oh, that is Ox?
Yeah, Ox was ordered to do it in the fluff. So he did it. But I'm sure Boar would have done it if he was asked.
I gotta, that game has some cool fluff. I really gotta read more of it. I think I have some of the early rule books that had the fluff in them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've ever opened them. Well, I got them after they were no longer current.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so...
If you were not looking for the fluff at that moment, there was no use in reading them at all, so...
Well, that's just it, right? Yeah. So it's not that I'm terrible and never open a rule book, though there was a bit of that, too. Why open a rule book? I got you and Steve to teach me how to play.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, I've got you to, you know, correct whatever Steve teaches me, and I'm kidding.
Yeah. So that was my first game. And the second game, it was just me on my side. I did a small solo try of an aerial just to start trying to understand the rules. The rules are not hard, but just getting a feel of the flow of activations and stuff like that.
Some familiarity with it, yeah.
Yeah, before trying it for real. So I'll probably do it again once, and then maybe try to get you or Yom or somebody else from the gang to play a small game before I bring it to Adepticon. We'll see how it fits with everybody's schedule. There's always that to take into account.
Yeah, it's the thing we have surprisingly little control over.
Yep. So, we'll see. At least I'll have, even if it doesn't pan out and we can't play, I'll have at least get familiarized a bit with the rules before playing with Nick. So, there's at least that.
Is that the guy from Skirmish Supremacy?
Yes.
Skirmish Supremacy?
Yes.
I mangled that name.
Yep, we have a game plan at Adepticon. He's bringing his Cassini. I'm bringing my Devanews. And
Gesundheit. Are the Devanews the little lizard people?
Well, they are all kind of small lizard peoples. The Devanews are the red ones I have. They're the more aggressive, savage versions.
Savage lizards. I like it.
Yep. So that's it for my games.
Cool. Yeah, I'm hoping to get a couple games in this week. I've been on like a gaming drought the last couple months.
Well, we played a lot before you went to Captain Con.
Well, had to, because I was playing a bunch of games I'd never played before, so mm-hmm. I kind of needed to know what I was doing.
Yeah. Most of my gaming since the early days have been that. Showing you games, that's about it.
It's a tough life, Antoine.
I don't complain. I would just like to have more of it, because since Captain Con, I had not played anything.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, it's not your fault. I wasn't able to attend our regular gaming nights, so...
I'll do better, buddy.
It doesn't help.
I'll do better, champ.
And that's fine. It's not your fault. So, anything else to talk about current hobby?
No, I don't think so. I'm busily mangling the face on this poor Saiyan. Super Saiyan. I should totally have sculpted like the giant anime hair on her and called her Super Saiyan. No, not so much.
You can still stop and do it if you want.
No, that's fine. Moving along. Yeah, some jokes go over better than others. She looks good, though, as a model. I'm pretty happy. Aside from that arm that's got the weird thing going on, aside from that, I'm pretty happy with how the paint job is turning out. She does have some relatively shallow details that I don't know how they're going to come out on her, but like I can't quite figure out what I'm going to do. Because yeah, I don't want a super extreme shade those. Ah, frig. Nothing like slipping with gold paint.
Ooh. That's not...
No, this is not good. It doesn't taste very good either. As I'm using my spit to clean the brush and wash the model.
Vallejo? Oh no, gold. All metallics are bad.
Yeah. G-Dub. Maybe I can... I got most of it off. See if I can't hide it with some of the green paint I had. The other thing is that the green paint I used for her is an airbrush paint.
So it doesn't cover well?
It covers fine in an airbrush, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Crisis averted.
Well...
Mostly.
Crisis downgraded. All right. So, let's get the show on the road. What were we going to talk about for our main topic?
So, I had the idea of... I'm doing so much casting and molding lately that we could talk about how to do some home moldings for your own stuff, like mostly for maybe reproducing bits or some small parts you've casted or custom base you've worked on. So, simple house... molding and house casting.
That could be very cool. I mean, aside from using... Oh, Paul, what are you doing? Aside from using things like Instant Mold, I've never really played much with casting.
And Instant Mold is one of the things I want to bring up. So it's valid. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, well, as long as I think you understand its limitations and what you're trying to do with it. Because, I mean, you're not going to make it... You're not going to cast models with Instamold.
Nope.
Right? Nope. It's like I use... Well, let's see what I used it for. So I was doing... Oh, sorry, I slipped with my paintbrush again. Apparently I'm going to paint like a geriatric person today. So I was using it for casting... emblems on my tanks for 40k. So I had a set of like chapter symbols and stuff that I cast into the mold, and then I was making green stuff casts to put on all my doors. So I'd have my chapter symbol on all my vehicle doors. And that worked really well for that, because it was a big thing I was casting. Like, it wasn't super high detail.
And something kind of, flat that didn't require two parts.
That's exactly right.
Yep. That's the best way to use InstaMold.
Yeah.
And it's the easiest way to, for any pieces, like emblems, bases, stuff like that. Those are the easiest pieces to mold and reproduce.
Well, that seems what InstaMold is really made for, right? So.
Yep. InstaMold is a reusable kind of silicone plastic compound that you can melt in hot water and then press onto the piece you want to reproduce and let it cool. And once it's cooled, you can use it as a negative for your putty, be it green stuff or other two-part epoxies. And you can recreate and cast multiple of it. And once you're done with that mold, you can just drop the InstaMold in hot water again and cast something else. I've used it for bases, custom bases I made. I've used it for some two parts that I've done, but it's not made for that exactly, so it doesn't work super well that way.
Yeah, that was my experience too. I managed to make it work for a two part once.
Yeah, but the results are not always
great. It works in a pinch. Yeah, you know, like if you don't have the time or the material to do a more expensive silicone mold, like it's worth attempting since there's no risk, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, you just throw it back in the boiling water and it's ready for next time.
If you don't have access to Instamold or don't or just want to try something else, you can do a simple press mold like that with green stuff. Just be sure you lube the original piece you want to use, and you can make a press mold out of green stuff or other pussies.
That's true.
So that's one way. And I've seen also people use hot glue to do that, depending on what you're using.
Oh,
so,
I can totally see that, yeah.
Heat doesn't destroy it. And it's not as precise as Instamold is, but it works in a pinch. So those are all good ways of doing, like, simple press molds.
You know, I hadn't thought of hot glue, but that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, and after that, you can, depending on the size of the piece, you can either use putty like green stuff or even plaster for bigger pieces if it's for terrain or stuff like that. Or depending on the how much you want and the durability you need, some dental plaster, which is, it costs a lot more, but it's a lot more durable than regular plaster too.
Yeah, yeah. It's heavy duty, right?
Yes. But if it's for terrain and it's going to show a lot of use, that might be something to look into.
Yeah, probably I wouldn't use that at that point.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that for emblems on tanks or on models. That green stuff works fine for that or other two-part epoxies. But for bigger terrain pieces, that's a way to go.
Yeah, I remember for years we looked at dental plasters for
Ersatz.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, Ersatz are already made molds that you can buy, either for mostly it's tiny pieces or tiles to build up your own terrain.
Yeah, brick by brick.
Yeah,
literally.
And you fill them with plaster or dental plaster.
And build your castle one brick at a time over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
It's almost like building a real castle.
They have amazing pieces, and they have some accessories that might be more useful than just building a full castle. The dungeon accessory set, I think, for people who are into fantasy, is perfect because there's crates, there's barrels, there's all kind of small pieces that can fit into even role-playing games or miniature games. That's what I used to do my Gilball terrains.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew it was a mold, but I didn't realize it was a Ersatz mold.
Yep. Part of it is Ersatz. The rest is my Cryo Studio. They had already made a bunch of crates that look similar to it, so they fit together well on the table. It doesn't really show that they're not from the same manufacturer.
Well, crates are crates, right?
I would assume. Yep. Yeah. So,
I'm sure someone would tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. If you want to reproduce more stuff or a bit more complex stuff, or you want to have a better quality, you can start to look at silicone molding. Let's say you want to do bases for a full army. You might want something that's going to works longer. Or have better detail.
Well, it's certainly going to scale up better, right?
Yeah. So, you can get silicone at most art shop. And if not, it can be found online. In the Canada and US, the one I know the most about is Smooton. That's what I use for my own casting. And they have a bunch of different ones, but the mold, mold star and Umu are the easiest one to use because they're a one-to-one part instead of a weight. They have other silicones, but those you need to weight and it's 10-to-1 and it's a lot more complicated. The one-to-one part is easier. You just fill two cups and mix it together and you're good to go. It works great for flat mold. So anything that's flat, like a base, an emblem, something like that, you just put in a shallow container, blue tack it to the bottom to be sure it doesn't move, add some mold release, and then you pour your silicone over it until it fills maybe half an inch over it, and you let it cure. And after that, you're good to go, and you can cast as many times as you want with any materials. So you can use, as we mentioned, plaster, silicone, plaster, green stuff, putty. But if you want to produce a lot, you might want to look into resin that's sold at the same place as silicone. So, and you can.
I had a question.
Reproduce them. Yes.
For your mold release agent, what do you use? Is it a special product or is it?
I use a mold release that's sold by the at the same place.
Okay, so it's a specific product. It's not.
I've seen other people. I've seen not baking powder, but baby powder, talcum powder.
Talcum powder. Okay.
Used. It works great. However, from what I understood, it might react with the mold a bit, so it might shorten the lifespan of your mold.
That's interesting. But
resin does that too, so it might be a combination of resin and talc. So depending on what you cast with, if you cast with a material that's less interact less with your silicone, it might not be problematic to use talc. But with resin, even if you use mold release, it bonds with the silicone a bit every cast, and hardens your silicone and makes the mold unoperable after a while.
Yeah, no, I know the molds have a finite lifespan.
Yeah, but depending on what you use it with, like with resin, you'll have less use of your mold than with plaster or putty.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the resin interacts more with the silicone.
Yep. Hmm. But that's also why I switched. Now I use the a silicone lubricant, and hopefully it will provide a better protection for the mold from the resin.
You know, you say stuff like that, and it's really hard for me not to go somewhere horrible with it.
Yeah, I know. I saw your face.
You know, you're talking about your silicone for your protection.
Yeah.
But we're a mature podcast. We're grown-ups here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of us are grown up here. I tried being grown up once. It was no fun.
Nope. That's why we play with the little dolls.
Or little mans. I prefer the term mandollies.
Mandollies, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's that Vallejo paint has seen better days. We'll just scoop out some goop, which was formerly known as paint, onto my palette. I'll add some water, and it'll be almost as good as new. Wait, I have medium here.
For your mold box, you can use
sorry, a segue.
Yeah. Well, I didn't segue, I just continued. You can interject with your painting stuff as much as you want.
Well,
I'll just continue.
I will, don't worry.
Yeah, so for your mold box, I've seen a lot of stuff used. The one thing I've seen the most often used is Legos.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I did it, I used Lego.
Because it's easy to build the size you want. It might deteriorate your Legos a bit. or your kids might not like that you do that. So it's your call. For bases, I found that blister packs, like War Machine blisters, it's a good size because you can fit two or three bases at the bottom. And use that for your pour, and it makes a good mold box.
Really?
Yeah. the size is just perfect. That's what I used last year for the East National.
Oh, for the balls?
Yeah, the balls. I had blister molds. So I put two or three of those in the bottom and poured the resin over after adding some moldies, and it worked perfectly.
That's really cool. Okay.
And this time for the molds I'm working on right now, I just used I had some hard plastic sheets, so I just cut some parts and hot glued them to another hard bottom, and to have the custom size I needed, because the blisters were not thick enough for 2-part molds, but for a single part molds for bases and stuff like that, it's perfect. It fits perfectly.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Look, you being all full of the good ideas for our listeners.
Yeah. If you want to reproduce something more complicated, so something that cannot be done flat, then you start to go to a higher level of molding. It's like higher level. It's just a bit more complicated. So, and it has more failure points. But there's two kind of molds you can do. You can do either a 2-part mold or a split mold. The idea is similar. The way you do them is different. But so if you do a 2-part mold, you're going to want to have a kind of a bed, a clay bed. They use, is it called plasticine in English too?
Yep.
So yes, you want sulfur-free plasticine, and you put your master item into it and make come a negative. So you will do your first pour of silicone on that. Once it's cured, you reverse, remove the plasticine, but let the item there, and put a lot of mold release, that's important then, and do your second pour. So you'll have two parts, and after that, when you remove your master, you'll have just the imprint of your item there, and you just add a channel for the resin, and you can pour between your two molds when you just rubber bend them together, and you can pour your resin in it, and you have a 2-part mold.
You must have to put some something in there so the mold aligns properly, right, when you go to put it back together?
Yeah, when either you can, we call it them keys most of the time. So what I do, when I got my first molding kit, I had some small tin keys, so I just push them into the clay for the bed, and you let them in, you remove them when you do the second part. So you'll have bumps into the bed around the molds that will reduce the movement in your cast. But I also do it just by pressing the bottom of a paintbrush into it. One of the bigger Game Workshop paintbrush, like
the tank brush or something.
No, not even that big. Just the large brush or the large dry brush. Just wet it a bit so it doesn't stick, and push it all around the miniatures and dot the mold.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I'll try to put a picture of one of the beds I made for one of my castings, so people will have a better idea of what it looks like. So all you have to do after that, if the mold doesn't cast well, is add vents. So you can just cut into one of the side of the silicone, small line that will go from like points to the top of the mold for the resin to flow and the air to flow out, so you don't have trapped bubbles and the mold filled well.
Right. So there'll be some trial and error, right?
Yes. For the pieces I'm working on, the Hippo Ballerina, I think I had to do 5 or 6 casts before I had a good mold that filled most of the time. You get used to it, and you can pre-plan your vents as you go when you do it more often. But it also depends on what you're casting. Simple parts might not take that much work, while other you might add to advance as you go. I had to add then two or three times before it casted well. So there's that. The split mold work a bit differently. So you're going to want to have your model sitting at the bottom of your container, like you do with a single part mold, and stand upright. So you want a container that's tall, not something shallow, because you want your model vertically and you want to fill up over it. So your model will be encased into silicone. And after that, you carefully cut the mold, starting from the bottom where your model sit, going about halfway through it, and you remove the pieces by not cutting through the whole mold. So in theory, as you have a big part of the mold that's still stuck together, it's not cut all the way through.
I see. Okay.
It will move less. And if you have a simple item, something that's doesn't have a lot of undercut, it can be fantastic because you could have not a lot of stuff to cut out and still be able to remove your cast piece. So depending on what you're casting, it might be even better, a little better than doing the two-part mold. You just need to be careful when you remove, because you cut into the silicone right near to your model, so you might be
damaging danger zone. Yeah.
Your master. I did that with one of my piece, so I damaged it. So the first cast I made, I cleaned it and kept it aside, so I now have a master cast, because the original has been damaged. So I keep a clean master. If I want to do new molds, I'll use that cast as a master cast. But those two type of molds, the two-part mold or the split mold, those are really for more complicated pieces. Like if you want to, if you do a gun or a small miniature or something like that, anything that's 3D and doesn't have a flat side, you kind of have to do it that way. But okay, it might be a bit complicated to start with that.
Work your way up to it. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. I've not talked about vulcanization and metal casting. Just because it's more complicated to do that in-house, I do have a small metal casting cauldron. It eats up white metal. And I do also have RTV silicone, so room temperature vulcanizing, they call. When you do, usually when you do metal casting, your molds are, it's like prepared, it's not silicone that you pour, it's prepared pads you press your miniatures into, and you put a second pad over it, and they're pressed together and they're heat up at super high temperature. And that fixes the rubber. And after that, you can pour molten metal in it. But that's a lot more complicated in the area. You need it's more of a safety hazard if you're not set up. So you need a workshop and you need the space for it. There are some silicones that can withstand that temperature, like the Moldstar by Smoot-On. They do have some platinum-cured silicones that you can use for metal casting. However, I find that metal casting, it's harder to get the flow right. So I've done some, but I find it easier to cast resin for a basement operation. If I wanted to have better metal casting, I would probably need to set up like spin casting, like professional dudes, and that was too much of a setup for a small operation like I do here. And if you just do bits on the side for your armies or your models, that's going a lot higher than what you need.
Yeah, that's way above and beyond. Yeah, spin casting is it's a whole thing. You need the machine, you need the... I've been to Reaper, where mm-hmm. they do spin casting there. And it's essentially just a high-speed drum
yes.
that the mold goes into, and you pour the molten metal in, and it fills the mold from the center. And
Gravity assures that you the metal is pushed into the mold on all the sides and fill up the mold.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And but you're dealing with molten metal spun at incredible speed.
Yeah. So. Well, the other thing is those the advantage is if you're doing lots of stuff, there's
you can produce a lot faster.
Well, there's also no waste because any miscast, you just throw back into the pot, melt back down, and recast.
Yeah. And most resin, you have a pretty high setting time, curing time. So.
Yeah, that's also
true. While metal, you let the mold, most of the master for spin casting, usually you can fit about 12 models depending on scale on one. Yep. Either 12 different models or the same one, you do a resin master and cast 12 resin masters. So you have a single mold that produce the same model twice, 12 times. But after that, every time you cast, you're going to have 12 sample of it. And it takes maybe a couple of minutes to empty out, let it cool a bit, and you can do it again. So your rate of production is going to be a lot higher.
Yeah, exactly.
However, the setup cost of those big rubber stamp is a lot higher than just a home cast silicone.
Of course.
But when you produce in higher number, it start to be a more advantageous.
It pays for itself, right?
Yeah. And if you don't have to do it. there are multiple companies that do offer that service.
Yeah.
So depending on what you need. And if you don't want to lose time casting, like I started doing it, sometimes I question my choice. But it's fun to tie with it. I like to be a jack of all trades, so
I like to know what hobby.
I'm doing. Yeah,
it's just another hobby that's an offshoot of your main hobby.
Yeah, sculpting is also an offshoot of gaming and painting, and now I have casting that's an offshoot of my sculpting. So I like to play with all parts of it.
You're a man of many talents, Antoine.
I think that covers most of it. Like, we've not talked about sculpting per se, but most of the time, people knows about green stuff, and that's what you'll be using mainly. There are also other, like epoxy sculpt, it's another two-part epoxy, there's are others. The other type of material you might see are polymer clays. Those are
Pokerays, like
Fimos, Beast Body, stuff like that. Those, contrary to the epoxy putties, they don't self-cure, so they stay soft until you bake them. So it's fun because you are not limited in your working time. However, you can accidentally touch them, press your thumb in it, or just do a slip with one of your tools. So there are advantages and
disadvantages,
yeah. To both, I'm starting to work more with the polymer clay, and I like it because I like to do cartoony stuff that needs to be super smooth. So having the longer working time helps with that. I had a problem doing that with putty, with grain stuff. So it works better for my type of sculpting, but for other stuff, you might be better with green stuff. And you don't have to bake. You don't have to have that additional hassle.
I mean, you see all kinds of like full-on miniatures done in green stuff, right?
So yes.
It's certainly a viable medium.
Oh, absolutely. It's mostly personal preference from the sculptor. We see both being used, either clays or putties. So I think that covers it. If you have questions, hit us up on any of our social medias. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. And if I don't have the answers, I know at least where to point you toward.
Yeah, I will not be answering any of your sculpting/casting questions. Putty and I don't get along. That's why I have Antoine do my gap filling. On those rare occasions when I care enough to fill a gap.
Yeah. Or on those rare occasions where the gap is so big that you can't just ignore it.
Yeah. It has to be pretty big, let me tell you.
Yeah, the lion was pretty big.
Yeah. There's some things like I can't paint around that and pretend it's not there. Yeah.
Okay, so before we close the show, I have a couple of news items I want to talk about.
Cool. Let's go.
First one from Miracle Collectible. They have a new bust. This one is Daisy the Mushroom Mincer.
Oh, goodness. Let's see here.
It's a 1/10 bust. So she's 8 centimeter from...
Oh, she's cute.
The top of her head to the waist. She's kind of a small gnome or fairy. And she has a mushroom hat and all kind of small, tiny creatures. Like she has a frog on her head. She has a snail of one of the mushrooms she has in her hand. A small pouch with a bunch of mushrooms. So it's a really nice miniature. I find it peaceful looking at her.
Yeah, she's super cute. I love the face detail. The little frog on the mushroom cap hat is cute, and she's holding the. Oh, it's a mushroom. She's holding with a little snail on top.
Yeah.
No, it's a really cute piece. It's very whimsical, right?
Yes.
I like a lot of Mirko stuff. I mean, we used to talk about a lot of his things when we did the news show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just continued to get better and better and better. With every release. So
this one is on pre-order right now. It's $68 US. And the first wave of pre-order will start shipping at the end of March.
So that seems pretty par for that type of model, that size.
Yeah, I think so. The second item, we are switching scale. It's not 1/10, it's 10 millimeter. So this one is from Blackgate Miniatures. It's 10 millimeter Demons Infantry for small scale games. In
Warmaster?
Mainly Warmaster.
Yeah, why are we even trying to hide it, Antoine? It's Warmaster.
So the demons are a faction that there has not been many miniatures sculpted by Game Workshop, and they were not produced a lot. So this is a try by Blackgate to finally provide a sustainable way to get a demon army on the table. So this Kickstarter was initially just for the infantry, but they are adding other pieces with the stretch gold, either beast, flyers. The Kickstarter limited to 100 backer to keep it reasonable. The guy is doing everything by himself. He's doing, he's not doing the sculpting, but he's doing all the casting and shipping by himself. So to keep it manageable, he limited it in numbers, but they will be available at retail after that anyway. And depending on the success of the Kickstarter, there might be either a second small Kickstarter for the missing units after that. There might be a like chariots and I think Greater Demon that won't fit into the line. Or they might just go straight to retail depending on how well they receive or how well this Kickstarter goes. If you want to hear more about the project, you can either watch the Kickstarter video or you could listen to the latest episode of the War Master podcast because he is one of the hosts and that was their main topic in that latest show.
It looks like the Kickstarter is going really well. I mean, he's at nearly 9 times his goal, so.
Yep.
And if you want to get in on it, he's at 62 backers out of his 100 cap, so.
Yep, so you still have some place. The buy-in is at £45, and that brings you, I think, 6 units, which is, I think, the minimum you need to play anyway, of the basic infantry. And after that, you can just... adjust your pledge for the extra units that have been unlocked as stretch goals. Or to get more of the basic infantry, depending on what you need. So the amounts, the total amount is not blocked, just the number of backers. So if you wanted to jump in quick before it's too late. The Kickstarter still have 3 weeks left to go, but depending on how when you get in, there might not be slots left. So be sure to not wait. And that's it.
Well, that's pretty... Darn it. It's a pretty good cast, I think. We covered a lot of stuff. I've managed to paint and mess up and then repaint my model.
I've managed to paint some guild balls, so Steve will be happy. She's not done. I mean, because while we were talking about casting, I stopped painting to be to be sure I didn't forget too much stuff. Yeah. But at least I made some progress.
Yeah. Steve won't have to forsake you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty happy with how this mall's coming out. I've managed to fix most of the green clothing. The flesh is done. The metals are done. Her face is nearly done. She's as pale as an elf should be, so. Yeah, it's gone well. Antoine, thanks again for doing this with me. Always appreciate it.
Oh, it's always fun.
You know, it's nice to actually have a informative topic by someone who knows what he's talking about, as opposed to me having to guess and pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
It was fun to do a real topic instead of just an episode for once.
Yeah, we haven't had a real topic in the... It's like we never have real topics.
No, we have topics, but a more informative topic.
It's been
a
little while. Yeah, it's been a little while. We've had a dry spell. We won't beat around the bush. Yep, no, it's a lot of fun. We'll have to do this again next week and find something interesting to talk about. So I guess I will talk to you then, sir.
Let's talk to you next week. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com, where you will find the Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.